Now we're we'll read a little scripture. Pretty much the same stuff I read this morning. So, hold on a minute, I'm getting there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is part 2 of this morning's message. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. I'll make sure I get chapter 3 correctly tonight. Here's what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And that's that one. All right, now we got a message.
All right. Tonight, the title of tonight's message is Lesson of Paul's Part 2. Lesson of Paul, Part 2. If you weren't here this morning, you need to take and go on the website and look at Part 1 because you're going to get a lot out of this tonight. I'm going to do a little bit of a review, not much, but a little bit of one. But let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your word that we have that we can dig into and see what golden nugget you have for us tonight. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take off tonight kind of where I left off this morning a little bit. That scared me. But if you were here this morning and you recall chapter 2, we were in the study and there were three things that we saw this morning. The first thing was to what? Study. Second thing was to teach. And the third thing was the things to come, or a time to come. And so what we're going to look at tonight is we saw basically that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ could be at any time or at any second. Tonight I want to look at what Paul told Timothy that he was to do until such a time that the Lord returned in the rapture. And it's very interesting to see, you know, how Paul addressed Timothy and how that he wanted him to understand exactly how to have the church work. Now, if you take any look at what Paul says in Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, take a look at what he's saying there. He says, continue in the things that you have what? Learned. Continue in the things that you have learned. Now, you know, what things, though, did he learn? What did Timothy learn? Look at verses chapter 2. Go to chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. It says, Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of the pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, these are the things that Paul had wanted Timothy to learn. These are the things that Paul had taught Timothy. Paul says, these are the things that I taught you. This is what I want you to understand that you have to live by. These are the things that I taught you, and you needed to learn these. Above all, you needed to learn these in order to be a preacher. And, look what he says. He says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What we need to realize is that Timothy was not taught by Paul. Timothy was taught by the Holy Spirit. And, sure, Paul was writing to him in a letter. However, the letter was inspired by God. We need to realize that this was not an ordinary letter. This letter wasn't, dear Jacob, how you doing in army? You know what I mean? Type of thing. Or we having good time here in Florence. It wasn't that at all. This was a letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit through Paul to Timothy. It was a letter that was written so that all of the churches, all of the Christians, for generation to generation to generation to generation, could be enriched by them, or they would get something out of them. And so here we see that Timothy was to learn. This is not, Paul speaking to him in any way, shape, or form. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's saying, read God's word. Read God's word. Study the scripture. Memorize the scripture. Keep it down deep in your heart. There's nothing that Paul wanted more than for Timothy to realize that he was to read and study the scripture which were going to be written. Now, did you notice this? I said, which were going to be written? Because the New Testament was just being penned out. We're looking at around 70 AD right now. That's when Jerusalem was destroyed. Matthew had not written the book of Matthew yet. John had not written 3 John, 2 John, or Revelation. What we need to realize is the New Testament is just getting penned out. But Paul is saying, hey, you've got to read the scripture when it's there. Now, the second thing is this. It's found in chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to keep thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy that from a child, or from the time that he was saved, he knew the scripture. Now, I did a little background on this, and this is what happened. Lois, which was Timothy's grandmother, got saved. Then Timothy's mother got saved. Then Timothy got saved. Now, so here we have a whole family that got saved. Now, Paul was real close to that family. We don't know for sure if he was living there with them, but he was very close with them. So he was teaching grandma, he was teaching mom the scripture. Well, what does Timothy do? He sits there and he listens. Hey, this stuff sounds pretty good. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen. And as he was listening, he was learning. And as he was learning, he was growing. But now look what he said. Let's look at that verse one more time. It says what? It says, and from a what? Child. Now, people feel that Timothy may have been 13, 14, 15 years old when he got saved. We don't know. However, Paul says, as a child, you've known the Holy Scripture. When you got saved, you started to learn the Scripture. Now, this verse is going to be important when we get down a little bit farther, and you're going to see why. But here we see that Paul says, when you were a child, when you were just born again, and you're starting to grow spiritually, you knew the Scripture. Now, We need to remember this verse as we go down through here. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, there are some very important things here that Paul wanted Timothy to realize. You know, it was through the Word of God that gave him what he was going to need until the last day came. We talked about that this morning. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this know that in the last days perilous times will come. But what Paul is telling Timothy here, he's saying now, he says, I want you to realize that this here's got to be there from this time until that time. All scripture is given by inspiration. Now, if you take and you think about this, this goes all the way back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, what Paul is saying here, you need to study the scripture. Now, look at what Paul tells Timothy the scripture will do. This is the cool part. It says, it is profitable for what? Doctrine. What is doctrine? What is doctrine all about? Doctrine is the teaching of the Word of God. The teaching of the Word of God. In fact, Dr. Hiles says this. He said, if a preacher preaches the Bible every Sunday, the people are going to get doctrine every single Sunday. Every Sunday, if a person preaches God's Word, the people are going to get doctrine. They're going to be taught doctrine. They're going to know what the Bible says. They're going to know what's right. They're going to know what's wrong. The second thing is this, for reproof. You know, to right an error, you know, to wrong or to do something wrong and to ask forgiveness for it. You know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to preach the Word of God. Did you know that? There's a right way and a wrong way to preach the Bible. Now, I've known many, 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 many preachers that will take verses out of context. And they'll take a verse and they'll try to form a doctrine or teach off that something that they want to prove themselves, but it's not really what the Bible says. You know, there was a man one time and he says, well, this is the way I read my Bible. I open my Bible and I point my down finger and I read that verse, and that verse tells me what I should do. So the guy said to him, he says, well, let's try it. He says, okay. And he went and he opened up his Bible and he pointed down and it says, Judas went out and hung himself. So he closed his Bible and he thought, well, that can't be right. So he opened it again and he pointed down and it said, go do thou likewise. But that's the way people, believe it or not, read their Bible. You know, they pick and choose what they want. In fact, there's Bibles today that are written and they've left out the blood. They've left out the Lord Jesus Christ. They left out everything that has to go do with the deity of Christ. They have one out now that is the politically correct Bible. Gender correct Bible. That's what it is. And there is no male, female. There is no he, she. All that's taken out. And, I don't even want to read it. But anyway, but then it goes on to say correction. You know, if you're doing something wrong, Scripture is going to tell you. You know, that's why an awful lot of people today do not want to read the Bible. They do not want to read their Bible because they're afraid that God's going to show them what they're doing is wrong. It's sin. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, for all of sin come short of the glory of God. They don't want to hear, for the wages of sin is death. They don't want to hear that Jesus died for them. They don't want to hear adultery is sin. They don't want to hear any of this stuff. They don't want to hear it. So they don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. You know, why would I want to read the Bible if it's going to make me sad? Oh, why am I going to go to church and listen to a preacher stand up there and talk about sin when I don't want to hear it? Right? After all, I might get convicted and have to come to the altar and confess some sins that I'm doing. Why go to church? Stay home. You know, we don't want to be convicted. We don't want to know that the things that we're doing contrary to God's word is sin. Instruction in righteousness. Hey, listen to me very carefully. This old book, right here, is a roadmap. This roadmap starts in Genesis, and it goes all the way through up to Matthew. All right? From Genesis all the way up to Matthew is looking towards the cross. Matthew through Revelation is looking back at the cross. This is the instruction book of how to get saved. Do you know that a person cannot get saved but by the Bible? Did you know that? A person cannot find his way to heaven unless he reads the Bible. A person cannot find out what you're doing wrong in life, contrary to God's word, unless you read the Bible. Instruction in righteousness. What is it? It's finding out how to get to heaven. That's what we need. Isn't that what we need in life, is to know how to get to heaven? I had a man here a few years ago that was wanted to be youth director, and we got talking. He said, I don't know why you use that King James Bible. That's so old-fashioned. I said to him, I said, what's so old-fashioned about it? Well, you can't understand it. I said to him, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. I said, do you understand what that means? He goes, well, yeah, we're all sinners. I said, that's right. I said, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that means? Well, yeah, it means that there's a penalty for our sin. I said to him, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I said, do you understand that? He goes, yeah. Jesus died for us. I said, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, do you So here we see that I said to him then, I said, now, I said, what of those verses cannot you understand? Well, I can understand all of them. I said, which of those verses can a youth not understand? He said, they can understand all of them. I said, what more do they need? He left the church. I don't know why. Got mad at me. But, you know, we need to understand that this old book is all we need to get to heaven. That's all we need. That's all that we have to have. Two. Paul says that a man of God, did Paul say, let's take a look at verse 15 real quick. Chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. That's all how far they want to go. Now, what does he say in verse
16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Let's go down to verse 17. That the what? Man of God. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Back in verse 15, he said a what? A child. Now, down in verse 17, he says a what? A man of God. Now, wait. Is there a difference between child and man? Is there a physical difference between the two of them? There is, isn't there? Well, what was the difference then between a child of God and a man of God? I'm glad you asked that question. The difference is this, and that's verse 16, or verse 15, that's verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is the difference. Paul's saying, this is what you have to be a man or a woman of God, is you've got to do what verse 16 says. So what we need to realize is this, is that we need to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. If you want to be a man or a woman of God, you need to get in to, let's take a look at verse 16 again. All scripture. If you want to be a man or a woman of God, you need to get in to the scripture. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. If you want to be a man or a woman of God, you need to get into God's Word and read it. But people today don't want to do that. Oh, it takes too much time. I wrote through my whole Bible this year already. And I mean, we're only in September. I've got September, October, November, and December left. I'll read through again before the end of the year. I challenge you to read through it in 6 months. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that we need to be in God's Word if we're going to be a man or a woman of God. But look at what else he says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, what we need to realize is if we're going to be men and women of God, we need to be thoroughly furnished. How do you get thoroughly furnished? I got some pledge out here. I could you know what I mean? I'd be thoroughly furnished. Amen? Listen, we need to get read up. We need to get prayed up. And we need to get fired up. Those are the three things that you need to do in order to be a man or a woman of God. You know, you got to get prayed up. Get on your knees and pray and ask God to show you what he wants you to do. Get in his word and read and read and read. And then get fired up about what you're reading about. I'll tell you what, I get excited when I read the Bible. I really do. I get excited and I think to myself, man, I never saw that before. We need to realize this. If you want to be thoroughly furnished, you've got to have a good prayer life. You've got to have a good reading life. And you need to be fired up for what you are, and that's a Christian. But you know, chapter 2, there was a change that was made. 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. I want to show you some things that the Apostle Paul told Timothy that he had to do. Now, the first two words of verse 1 says what? I charge, chapter 4. I charge.
I charge thee. Now, the word charge here is the same word, Greek word, used for command. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, I command you to listen to what I'm about to say. Because I'm going to command you to do something. And it's interesting how Paul says this. You know, Paul tells Timothy, here, I command you to do what I'm about to tell you to do. Why? I'm commanding you before who? God. I'm commanding you before the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says they are. The judge of the quick and the dead. Wow. You know, as I was reading that, I'm thinking to myself, Paul could have been giving Timothy a death sentence. Think about it. What is he doing? He's saying, I'm commanding you in the name of God and of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm commanding you to do this. And if you don't, guess who you're going to be answerable to? It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. Because I'm going to be gone. We're not going to see that tonight, but he goes on in later in chapter 4 and says, I'm all done. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. So Paul knew his time was coming very short. So what does he do? He says, I'm commanding you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of God Almighty, you listen to what I want you to do because you're going to be answerable to them, not to me. Whoa. You know, what we need to realize is that all of us, believe it or not, are kind of in the same boat that Timothy was. We've been commanded to do something. You know, look what he says. He says, preach the word. Preach the scriptures so that those who hear it will learn from what you are preaching. That they'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit through what's being preached, and they repent of the sins that they're committing contrary to the Word of God. You know, many people don't want to hear that, do they? Many people do not want to hear the things that they're doing are sin. You know, there are an awful lot of preachers today who do not preach the Word of God. They don't. They do not preach the Word of God. They'll use some translation off of whatever internet they can find. You know, there's an awful lot of them that will not preach, thus saith the Lord. You know, there are a lot of people who do not darken the doors of this church because they do not like my preaching against sin, against lifestyles, against drinking, against things that we shouldn't be doing. You know, I don't care if they like it or not, I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen? You know, how would you, as I was doing this afternoon, I was thinking to myself, how would I have liked to been in Paul's day and heard Paul preach? You know, you talk about a hellfire and brimstone preacher, it would have been Paul. You know, in Antioch, he was preaching, and some guy in the second story window fell out dead. He had preached for 7 hours straight. People get upset when you go 10 minutes over. I mean, you sit there and listen to Paul preach for 7 hours. That's a long time. I need a bathroom break. You know what I mean, type of thing? You know, let's face it. You know, I don't know if I could have sat underneath Paul or Peter or James or any of them apostles when they were preaching. Because, listen, they preached with fire. They preached hell, fire, and brimstone, let me tell you. You know, there are people who start listening to me on the internet. All of a sudden, they get convicted and they turn it off. Yeah, they do. You watch the views, and we'll start out with 20, 25 views. By the time I'm done, we're down to 7 or 8. Why? Because they don't want to be convicted of what they're doing. He goes on to say in season and out of season. But what does it mean to preach in season? Wait a minute. Summer, fall, winter, right? Huh? Season, in season, out of season? I'm glad you asked that question. What does it mean? What does in season and out of season mean? That means keep preaching the same stuff. It doesn't matter what everybody else is preaching. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Doesn't matter if everybody has a big bang or whatever else, big band or singing and dancing and clapping and whatever. Hey, preach the Word of God. In season, out of season. Don't worry about what people think. Preach what the Bible says. Reprove. The Greek word for reprove in this sense means to convince. You know, he's telling Timothy, he says, you need to convince them of their wrongdoing. Convince them of their sin. Convince them that they are committing sin contrary to what God's word says. That's what he's saying. Isn't that what a preacher's supposed to do? Rebuke. Rebuke means to correct them for what they are doing wrong and try to get them back on the right road. Show them how to get on the right road. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Do all these things with patience, teaching them the way that they should go. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that many people have no idea of what Christianity even really is. They don't know what a Christian lifestyle should be. But you know, he goes on to say, let's take a look at chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 real quick. We're just about done. I've only got 15 pages to go. Verses 3 and 4, it says this, for the time will come. What time? The time will come. Let's continue reading. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. Wow. They're not going to take and endure sound doctrine or teaching. They're not going to listen to the word of God being preached. You know, they will not want to hear the things that God says out of the Bible. They will not want to sit in church and listen to a preacher yell and scream and holler and shout and try to convince them of the things that they're doing contrary to God's word as sin. They will not want to listen to all the sins that they are committing as being bad. There'll be a time, he says, Timothy. A time. There's going to be a time that they would rather be entertained than to have the Word of God preached at them. There's a time coming when entertainment is going to mean more to them than the Word of God being preached. There's a time coming when the music is going to be just like the world's music, and they're going to sit and listen to that and glorify the music instead of glorifying God. There's a time coming that they're going to want to hear stories and fables instead of the Word of God. There's a time coming when they won't come to the church house anymore to listen to the Bible being preached. They'd sooner take and listen to their earbuds and nose buds and everything else instead of reading God's Word. There'll be a time when they'll have their bands and their dances in church instead of the preaching. They're going to turn their backs on God. You may say, well, that'll never happen. Happening right now. Been happening for years. Verse 5, and then we're going to be done because I'm out of time. First time it says, what's the first word there? But. I love that word. But. Now listen, he just went on through this, didn't he? He just says, hey, he says, there's going to be a time coming when people don't want to hear the Word of God preached. There's going to be a time coming people aren't going to want to go to church. There's going to be a time coming when they'd rather have entertainment than listening to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. But. Look at verse number 5. Watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. In all things, Timothy, in all things, in your time, in your talents, in your tithes, and in your testimony, all things, in all things, you need to watch. Watch. The end's coming. Pretty soon there's going to be a thing go across the screen, the end. You remember that in movies and stuff? It come up, the end. Endure afflictions. There's going to be hard times coming, Timothy. You're going to face bad times. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to want to hate you. But listen to me. Endure it. Endure it. You're only going to endure it for a while. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach what you've been taught. Preach what God will show you to preach. Preach everywhere you can possibly get a chance. On the street corner, the bus station, go to anywhere, on the internet, whatever. Preach the Word of God, Timothy. Make full proof of their ministry. Do a good job until it's over. You know, Paul told Timothy what he needed to do until the last days. Paul laid it all out. Paul said, listen, this is what's going to happen. And this is how it's going to happen. And this is why it's going to happen. But he says, listen, this is what you need to do. This is everything that you need to do before. This know also. That in the last days, perilous times will come. He says, listen, Timothy, just keep on keeping on. What about us tonight? Where are we at? Are you willing to teach? Are you willing to preach? Are you willing to study your Bible the way you should? Are you willing to be a soul winner? Are you willing to endure afflictions? We need young men and women just like Timothy that are willing to take their orders from God and do what God has called them to do instead of what they want to do. We need to do the things that we're called to do until it's over. And I'll tell you what, the last 20 years have been fun. The next 21 may not be that fun. But you know what? I'm ready to fight the good fight. In fact, let's go to that real quick. I'm over already, but that's okay. Go over to, let's see here. Go to verse 7. We stopped at verse 6. Or let's go to verse 6. We stopped at verse 5. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that also do love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Listen to me. Paul knew his life was almost over. And he's telling Timothy, he says, I want you to come to me because I'm not going to be able to come to you. He was in prison in Rome right here. What we need to realize is this, is that, and I said it this morning, we need to teach the next generation. To be able to teach the next generation. If we don't, where are we going to be? Look what's happened today in our society. The last generation didn't teach this generation anything. And the generation before that didn't teach that generation anything. We need to realize that we need to study and we need to teach because the time is at hand. You know, I've been preaching for 21 years and I know that the Lord's second coming is sooner than ever. And I believe it could be tonight. It's all set. The rapture's set. We're just waiting for the sound of a trumpet, a shout, and we're going to be gone. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'd guide and direct us in this invitation. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to the hearts here. We know that we all need to study your word. We need to be able to teach your word. And Father, I just pray now that you'd be with the ones that are here tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. And maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I have not studied my Bible like I probably should be. Would you pray for me that I can do a better job? If that's you, just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Yes, hands all over the auditorium. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I really believe that God is working on my heart for me to be a teacher, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be whatever. With an uplifted hand, you just say, preacher, would you pray for me that I can be the teacher that God would have me to be
That's you. Just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Father, you know our hearts. You've seen the hands. I pray for these, Lord, that say they need to be spend more time in your word. We know we need to study to show ourselves approved unto you. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Father, we know that we need to teach the next generation. Help us, I pray, that we can do your will for our life. Just like young Timothy, Lord, Paul had commanded him to do certain things. Lord, I'm going to command him tonight. I'm going to command the people tonight to do the same thing that Paul commanded Timothy to do in your name. Father, help us all. Help me to be a better preacher. Help us all to do a better job with those that we come in contact with. Be with us now, I pray, in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.